It is the Pens Universe podcast. Doug Smith joined by Corey Allen. Corey, how's it going, man?
Fantastic. Yeah. Penguins win. It's 60 degrees in beautiful Indianapolis. How's the weather out in Arizona?
I think it's good there. I don't know. I'm currently in Western PA, and it's 60 whatever six there today, I believe. You know, I think that's what they said to go along with the Mario statue. Whether or not it was actually 66 degrees, I don't know, but we'll go with that, right?
Well, it has to. I mean, it's Mario's day.
That's right. So
Mario controls the weather.
Before we go a little further into Mario, I don't know if you were paying attention to the pregame today whenever Mike Milbury said that by starting Brad Thiessen tonight, or Thiessen, I believe as a lot of people are calling him, that it was showing that they really didn't really care about the Leafs. I think it's a pretty factual statement. Do you agree or disagree on that?
Care about?
I think they're saying that, you know, they could, they don't really respect them. They believe they can beat them either way, you know?
Well, I mean, the Leafs are, I thought this was going to be, you know, a bit of a trap game. I mean, just the fact that, you know, you got a new head coach, team that's really playing for nothing now. I mean, they're a lock, it seems, out of the playoffs, I mean, pretty much. And those are, you know, those are dangerous games. And, you saw it right off the bat. I mean, a 2-0 start, and the Penguins had to dig themselves out of a hole to earn 2 points tonight that, you know, on paper should have been fairly easy 2 points, but hard-earned nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was kind of agreeing with you with that. I think it was also one of those games where it was like, well, we can kind of overlook it because we got other games coming up that are more important. But, I thought Toronto was going to make the playoffs, and I guess they, did the same thing they did last year, so they're falling out of it for sure. But, as you mentioned, it was Mary Lemieux's day, the 66th game of the season, and they revealed the statue, the 4,700-pound statue of him splitting the defense of the Islanders back in 1988, and obviously there's a metaphor there for him overcoming many obstacles along the way in his personal life as well, and the metaphor makes sense. But before we go into any further about the day and the ceremony and what have you, your initial thoughts on the statue when you saw it?
Well, I was a little disappointed that it wasn't 6,600 pounds weighing in. Yeah. That was my initial, what's going on. I get that. I see, him, splitting the D, coming over adversity, obstacles in life. I see, the metaphor here, but I feel like there are, images of Mario that we see that are, that I see of him more so than this. I mean, him raising the Stanley Cup. I see the image of him, walking out on the ice at Mellon Arena, telling the fans that the Penguins were going to stay in Pittsburgh. I see him, pouring, melted ice from Mellon Arena on the ice at, the new building. There's a lot of images that I see him, and honestly, this was one of the ones I didn't think that it was going to be. But then once the hints started coming out, Rossi, and people started, kind of dropping these little hints here and there, you could put it together, what it was going to be. It's a statue to Mario, it's something that, he is, for me here living in Indianapolis, I'm not a Colts fan by anything. What's gone on today and for the last couple months or so, I mean, Peyton Manning's been the face of this franchise. Mario has been the face of the Penguins.
Yeah.
And, this was inevitable that he was going to get something like this, even though he probably didn't want it, said he didn't want it. But, you know, it might, he's a humble guy. He'll take it. You know, I envisioned something different, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's hard to really, complain about it or any put any negative in on it at all. It's an amazing thing to be from Western PA and finally see a statue of a hockey player. You know, I think that's something that alone in and of itself is not something people would have thought of. You're right. I think there's other ones, depending on, how old you were when he was drafted and that kind of thing. Maybe certain things stick out more than others. I told my friend today, kind of like just what you said, it would have been cool to have kind of a front side, back side thing where one with he's raising the cup and then the other side is, when he stepped out on the carpet and said that the team was saved and staying in the city. I mean, I think that would have been cool, kind of, similar to what you said. So, it's just personal wishes. There's really, at this point in time, no real way to go wrong. It's nice to have that there and to not have to worry about those things that we worried about years ago, So, Mike Lang was the MC, and he brought out a couple of his sayings today. I think that honestly may have been the most interesting part of the ceremony itself. As you mentioned, Mara Lemieux doesn't really talk a lot, so the ceremony itself only about 27 minutes in length or so, somewhere along there, those lines. Did you have a favorite part of the ceremony at all today that you witnessed or saw, or anything interesting stick out to you?
To be honest, I haven't seen a video of it. I didn't watch it live. But I kind of got bits and pieces of it, and I think it's fitting that, Lang was there. To me, I kind of got a little salty about when the Penguins won the cup. Wasn't it Stagerwald that was kind of the MC of after the parade? I thought that was so wrong. And, I'm sure Lang, a class act guy, and has been through, all of his, jumping from TV to radio, and, we all know what that story is. But I thought it was awesome the fact that he was given the opportunity to do this and not Paul. And, to me, Lang is one of those, voices and things that you recognize the Penguins with, kind of along there with Mario too, not as much, but he's such a voice and a figure with the Penguins that, my God, we have an app in his honor. So I liked that part of it. I mean, it's, Mario's a humble guy. He's not gonna go up there and, give a 20-minute acceptance speech. So, my take is it probably went as well as it should have.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of hard to say anything about that. I mean, when I was watching it, it was more about seeing what kind of weird faces the people in the background were making. And, knowing that there was a good bit of, most of the Penguins were there as well, watching, the current Penguins were there watching, and, having just come from practice, they're all just kind of, Brooks Orpik's wearing a hat, and no one really, no one cares, so it's pretty cool. It was a good day. It's a good day to remember the good thing the Pens won, I guess, tonight when they beat the Maple Leafs. They beat them by a score of 3-2. As you know, 3 times 2 equals 6, if you want to keep adding that in there. Why not, right? Anyway, and before we move on to other topics, the last connection to the Leafs game tonight, did you know that Steve Sullivan is one of only 6 active players that have played a playoff game as a member of the Leafs? Did you know that? Interesting stat.
I did not,
There's your,
and
interesting stat for the night right there.
well, it's been since, what was it, 2004?
Yeah, something like that. It's been a long time, and you gotta wonder how the Toronto folks are hanging in there. But
Yeah, well, Sullivan's still kicking.
yeah, well, obviously it's the natural transition is to Sidney Crosby, who is cleared for contact, and there is a lot of indication that he may return on Sunday when the Pens play the Bruins. And I think everyone's kind of getting amped up. They're seeing a team that now has won seven straight, and there's a chance that Sidney Crosby could come back. Your initial thoughts on Crosby being cleared, and if you hope to see him out there on Sunday or not?
All season long. It's good to see that he's gotten cleared again. Obviously, if somebody issues, he's going to make sure that he's in tip-top shape and, as physically, mentally sound that he can be before getting back out there and playing a game. I hope he plays Sunday. But Crosby, they were kind of talking about this, during the pre-game, and we even kind of asked the question on our Facebook page talking about, Crosby and Letang, and, I'm sure this is something we'll get into later, but, Crosby is, a big piece of this, but we've been, I hate saying it, but, I mean, we've been doing really well without him.
Yeah.
And, Letang is, the cornerstone of the power play, which I believe we were 0 for 9 the past two games going into tonight, and we must have had either, I think, four power plays. So, I mean, we're at least 0 for 12, 0 for 13 a stretch here on the power play. And, I mean, you can see where we're missing Letang, but, I mean, Crosby's a pretty big gaping hole there from the roster, and I mean, it will be great to see him back out there. There's no question about that. There's no comparing, what Crosby brings to compare to, what Letang brings, the intangibles, but at the same time, Letang, he's that niche power play quarterback guy, and it's his absence has been a lot more visible recently than say Crosby has for the majority of this season.
Yeah, you mentioned the poll we did on our Facebook page. We didn't get a ton of responses, but it was better than 4-1 in favor of Letang for returning sooner to the ice. So take that for what it's worth. As far as Crosby goes, I personally would like to see him against Boston, but that's just me thinking that if he is ready to go, that he needs to get out there and play as much as he can, just to get trying to get a rhythm back. And I mean, we both know that Bylsma's going to have to flip some lines here and try to figure out a way to make him fit in with the right people. I mean, Jordan Staal's playing great. Dupuis doesn't get a lot of attention because of what team he's on, more or less. But he's playing great as well, and so. Obviously, the top line, it's a matter of, where are you putting Crosby, who are you putting him with? And I think it's going to be interesting. I would like to see him out there. I do have a friend of mine that we were discussing this topic, and Crosby's like his favorite Pittsburgh athlete of all time, and he's been, following all Pittsburgh sports for just as long as I have, 20 plus years or what have you. And for him to say that to me was a big deal, but at the same time, he was so overly concerned. Like, as soon as the news came out, his thinking could have changed, but just that he just wanted him to be able to play in the playoffs. So I think he had this fear of almost paranoia, and he was saying, just give him a handful of games. So we went through the schedule, and it ended up being that he would only get five games, which were Jets, Predators, two against the Islanders, and one against the Sabres. Those were the five games that he would get. And I don't think he's alone in that thought, though. So I pose the question to you, Corey. If he's fine and ready to go, just throw him out there every game and get him going, or what?
Yeah, get him out there. I mean,
Okay.
he's one of those guys that's not going to sit and wait for it. Get him out there and let him do it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. But we'll talk a little bit more about Letang since you brought it up, but obviously I think the wording they're using with Letang isn't quite as ambiguous as we may have assumed, but at the same time there's really no idea of when Letang could return. He's been spotted, so that's a good thing. He isn't talking to people, but he's around the team and what have you. So there's a growing sentiment, and I believe it was brought up tonight by Keith Jones on the broadcast of the game that if Letang comes back, that's going to be more important. So is it because of the power play that Letang needs to come back, or is it a different reason that you think he is more important for the Pens right now?
Yeah, I mean the power play's I think the big one. But more so, I mean he is the defensive back. He's the guy that, is the while Orpik, wears the A, Letang is just more of that offensive defenseman. And I mean that comes really into play on the rush, and it's something that you saw Niskanen a little bit of it tonight, but for the most part, Letang's really one of those guys that will get up there on the rush and create opportunities for the Penguins that maybe on the other three pairings for defense, the other two pairings for defense, you wouldn't really get those opportunities. So for him to get back there and get him out there, I think it needs to happen. If he's good, I mean, if the symptoms aren't nearly as bad as what everyone's saying that come with a concussion, if he starts skating, everything's fine, get him back out there.
And I'm not going to argue against anything you're saying there. I will throw a couple counterpoints out there, though. I think if you're going to look at anything and look for like a silver lining in the fact that he hasn't been able to play, one is the fact that having to switch the lines in the defensive core has allowed both McCulloch and Martin to seem like they are improving their game rather drastically. I do feel like there's still going to be some people, no matter what happens the rest of the season, they're going to hate Paul Martin because of the way he started out, and they're not going to see what he does on a day-to-day basis. But I think having been able to switch people around, break up some pairings, that's been good for both of them. And to be honest with you, I was at the game on Monday, and the play of Bryan Strait was actually pretty good. I don't know what they showed on the television or how much showed up on TV or what have you, but majority of his spacing and everything was pretty good, and so that's nice to see for somebody that really hasn't gotten much playing time this year with the Pens. So I think that's given confidence to those guys. But I will also say that I've been impressed with Niskanen all year, and he continues to impress me. I mean, if you watch the game tonight, he got pucks to the net a lot, and gave plenty of chances for folks to try to tip it in or whatever it might be. And I think maybe he realized there was a little bit more pressure on his shoulders when Letang was out this time than he did last time. And to me, there's been a little bit difference there. I don't know if you've seen that, Corey, or not. Any thoughts on Nisky?
Yeah, he's definitely been a name that's been thrown out there, as far as on the scoring sheets, making plays that don't end up on the score sheet but are noticed there on the ice. And I am one of those guys where we pick up Paul Martin and you give him the paycheck, and he's just been in, you can call it either a lot of situations that were just unlucky or a lot of situations that he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And maybe it's a mix. But, at the end of the day, I mean, what you can say the same thing about Brent Johnson. I mean, maybe he had some pucks that, he should have stopped, and others where maybe he screened or, just puck luck, whatever it is. But, neither one of them have performed to the level at which they should have this year. And I think it's going to cost Johnson his job with his team next year. And it caused a lot of, trade talk and rumors about maybe dumping Martin. I don't think it would have happened anyway with the money, the baggage that came with it for another team. But, it just comes with the territory. I mean, last year, I mean, Niskanen was a guy that, like Neil, wasn't really doing a whole lot, and it was kind of, well, what did we get? what did we get for Goligoski?
Yeah.
And, now, like Neil a little bit, he's making a name for himself and he's doing what he's got to do to, just stay competitive, amongst his teammates and keep this team competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the original conversation about Crosby or the Tang, obviously I'd like to see both of them back before then. Crosby looks a lot more imminent. The Tang, I don't know. The hit he took looked pretty fierce to me, and like I said, it seemed like he's better than most had anticipated. So I suppose we'll see where that goes. The Penguins, do have a pretty sturdy schedule down the road here. Playing a lot of games against the division. Rangers, Flyers. A bunch against the Flyers, which is, interesting how they made that schedule out, but I guess it makes sense. So, that's what you have going on, and so, if we don't see Letang until the playoffs, I think that's fine. There's no rush for him because, he has played a lot more than Crosby has, obviously. So, any further thoughts on Crosby versus Letang, Corey?
Not surprised by what the poll results were online,
Yeah.
and I tend to agree. I think that just you see the standings, you see where we are, without Crosby, but here recently with Letang back out, I mean, you see where the power play sits, and that was a big factor, in the playoffs, where we weren't able to, score goals on the power play and led to an early exit.
Yep.
And it's I mean, you can get those 5-on-5 goals, but I think it's the power play goals that really dig into the other team and give you the momentum.
Yeah.
And for the Penguins, I mean, that worked the year that they won the cup. And the years after, it really hasn't. And you've seen the early exits. So we need Letang, that's for sure.
Well, once again, Corey, you have a way of making a perfect transition without actually trying, so.
It's just the things that I do for you, Doug.
It's that background, yeah. It's a good background you got there, so.
Thank you.
We, obviously, time of the year where we start kind of looking at playoff positioning and what have you, and people start to hate the phrase, if the playoffs started now, a little less than they have the rest of the season. So, as it stands right now, the Pens are in fourth position, with a 4-point lead on the Flyers, and we do have one more game played than the Flyers, and so technically that you consider that a 2-point lead. But they would be playing the Flyers regardless and hosting them. Rangers obviously in first place. I don't think anybody's catching the Rangers. Boston's sitting in second, based on their division lead. Florida in third. New Jersey, Ottawa, Winnipeg. Winnipeg rounds out the bottom eight. So, Corey, as it stands right now, I think the two battles are really, as far as who's getting into the playoffs, whoever gets the eighth seed and then whoever gets the Southeast Division title. Those seem to be the two. So, Florida, Washington, Winnipeg, Buffalo, maybe even Tampa Bay. Who are you giving the nod to of those teams to get those other two spots?
I would love to see Washington miss the playoffs,
Yeah.
as I'm sure any Penguin fan would. I think Buffalo definitely will not. Miller is just way too shaky, I mean, you need goaltending, and he is just such a question mark night in and night out that, it just doesn't seem like it would work for him in their favor. And Winnipeg's a team that actually, took it to them a couple nights ago, over the weekend, I believe. So, Winnipeg's put themselves in a pretty good position. And, with Tampa Bay and Steven Stamkos, you don't want to rule them out. And even though they're at 68 right now, it's they're 2 wins out, basically. two wins out. They have a game in hand against Winnipeg. You know, I mean, it's a Southeast division that's really weak anyway, and all it takes is, you know, a few games to get hot and to start leapfrogging some of these guys. And, you know, for Tampa Bay, technically, they're only 6 points out of the third playoff spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, Tampa is a team that, you know, if they get hot, you know, they could leapfrog everybody pretty much. And, you know, I think, you know, they might shuffle up there and, you know, somehow either, you know, depending how it works out, maybe Winnipeg or Florida maybe fight for that eighth spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to watch that Southeast battle. It's interesting just looking at the teams that are competing for it. And, you know, I would tend to agree with you that I wouldn't want Washington in the playoffs, but the way they've played, it makes it really strange that they're only 2 points out of the eighth spot. The last few games, they've just not been able to score at all. I mean, they lost back-to-back games 5-0 and 1-0. They're 4-5-1 in the last 10. You know, I don't see them getting in there. The fact that the Capitals are having trouble scoring is got to be a big thing to them. You know, and just, I don't know. They just don't seem like they're the team that really wants to do it right now. So I'm going to, you know, say they're not going to get it. I think the 8 seed is going to go to the Sabres because somehow the Sabres find a way of making it into the playoffs all the time. And I don't know how. They are 7-1-2 in their last 10. They won tonight in overtime against Carolina, so they got both points this evening, which was a big deal for them. They all of a sudden have decided they're going to turn it on. Somehow they're doing it without Jason Palmaville or Thomas Vanek really scoring at all. And, you know, they've clawed their way back into it, and it's just, you know, they spent all that money. Something's got to give here. So I'm just going to say that Buffalo gets an 8th seed, and then, you know what, that Southeast division, that's, I would not be surprised if it comes down to the last game of the season. And comes down to, you know, almost three different teams there. You know, I think that would be, that's going to be pretty much the biggest drama, I believe, going, you know, in the Eastern Conference, obviously. The way Tampa Bay is playing, what, 7-3 in their last 10, you know, scoring game goals pretty easily right now. Stamkos lighting it up.
But here's the thing against the Lightning right now is their goaltending.
Yeah.
Their goals against for a team, 226.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the standings I'm looking at right now. That's the worst in the East, and I don't know if it's the worst in the league or not, but.
Yeah, you're right. I think they're like a minus 33 in the goals differential or something like that.
I mean, that's what happens when you got, you know, a geezer in goal like Rolison, I guess. I mean, that's, well, you know, you keep them 1 year too long.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's all that is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, unless, you know, they pick it up between the pipes, because, you know, Stamkos is going to deliver. I mean, him and Malkin are, you know, going back and forth in the points lead.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're going to get your goals, but it's, you know, stopping them, keeping them from getting in behind your goalie.
Yep.
You know, that could be what keeps them out. And maybe keeps the standings the way that they are.
Yeah, and they did a lot of work at the trade deadline to kind of get some reinforcements and different folks on the blue line. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that the folks they got are the best options. You know, Mike Commodore, that kind of thing, people that have experience and they're veterans, but, you know, you bring up a good point there. Just for the sake of it, the Lightning play the Jets the last game of the season on April 7th. The Capitals have to travel to New York. There's a good chance that New York might have pretty much everything locked up by then and may not necessarily, you know, put the full force out there that game if they don't have to, you know. So that could play into it, I suppose. Although I don't really see John Tortorella as somebody that would do that. And then the Panthers play the Hurricanes the last game of the season. Although the next to last game of the season, the Panthers and Capitals do play each other, and thus making that a very, very pivotal game. Of the teams that are vying for that spot, the Panthers have the worst kind of stretch run in April there as they play the Red Wings, the Jets, the Capitals, and then the Hurricanes. So if you're going to let schedule dictate who you think's going to get in, maybe it is Tampa Bay. But I suppose that's, that's up for everyone to ponder themselves. But, we kind of wind down here. We're getting close to it. So, Corey, right now there's kind of a possibility of playing, any number of probably three or four teams here. So, if you had to pick your Penguins opponent in the first round of the playoffs, who would you prefer?
Well, I would have preferred the Jets, but it doesn't look like we're going to catch the Rangers in time.
Right.
I would almost prefer to play New Jersey
Yeah.
over Philly. I think, even though they're a tough team to score against, I see a lot of kinks in their armor. More than I do, maybe with Philly. I wouldn't mind Ottawa either. They give up a lot of goals, but they've got they don't have as many games left to play as a lot of the other teams. So for them to jump up and stay up, it's going to be harder for them.
Yeah.
But it's really either way you go, it's not like it's going to be a breeze.
Yeah.
It's shaping up to be an Atlantic Division team, somebody that you've already played six times, somebody that you've already, each other has beaten the crap out of one another,
Yeah.
and then you got to play each other in a seven-game series.
Yeah.
It's just going to be brutal. For both teams, and it's really whoever's, it's a 15-round knockout. Whoever's left standing after 15, it seems like is gonna hobble their way into the second round, it seems like. And I don't, I just seems like I like my odds against the Devils over the Flyers.
Yeah. I would still and see the sixth seed would still be the most inviting to me, but the way they're playing, I don't know that they're going to slide back to the sixth seed at this point in time. I guess it depends on what you want. If you want drama, you want the Flyers. I personally would not like to see them play the Devils because I just that matchup just scares me because I almost wonder if the Cyborg Brodeur is going to turn on a switch for the playoffs or what have you. So, if we have to see New Jersey, I'd rather it be for in the conference final where everyone's a little bit more tired, but.
Well, and think of it this way too. In regards to that, and maybe in regards to sliding and who jumps up to, that 4, 5, 6,
Yeah.
the Penguins play the Flyers three more times,
Yep.
and only New Jersey two more times.
Yeah, and then.
So, you figure maybe you set yourself up. Well, I guess for me, what I think it is, you set yourself up maybe. You beat Philly, and things work out for New Jersey. They slip up to the five, or vice versa, I guess. And maybe like you said, you get the scenario where Pens Devils can meet later on in the playoffs.
Yeah, very true. I mean, this last stretch run here is gonna have a lot to do with that middle ground in the playoff seeding. So we will see. I guess the one thing is now is that people aren't necessarily panicking about the Pens making it. It's more about just where they're gonna make it to. So just quickly, glance at the Western Conference while we're here. And for those of you that aren't checking and probably don't know because this happened late last night with Vancouver not winning, but St. Louis Blues are the number one team in the Western Conference right now. And like I said, this is something that probably a lot of people in the Pittsburgh area have no idea right now, but that's fine. Vancouver second, Dallas third, Detroit, Nashville, Chicago, Phoenix, San Jose. San Jose is tied with Los Angeles and Colorado for that last spot. Colorado had another injury. Calgary's only 2 points behind. Any thoughts on the Western Conference, Corey?
I'm still hating it that the Kings my Western Stanley Cup final contender there, not in the playoff race.
Yeah.
Oh boy. At the same time, yeah, I mean, St. Louis is a shock. You know, Detroit was hot forever, and now they're, you know, a pretty mediocre 5-4-1 in their last 10.
Yes.
You know, St. Louis is definitely the hot hand. San Jose is probably going to play their way out of a playoff spot the way they've been sliding.
Yes, very
and,
true.
You know, possibly leaving the door open there for Colorado to slip in, because it's, you know, the Kings have been right there on the edge, and they've just never really had enough either goals, wins, whatever it is, to just put them there over the top and to kind of keep them in that 7-8 range. You know, they're another one of those teams where, you know, they're a 5-4-1 in their last 10-2. It seems like the door is really wide open for Colorado here. And, you know, fortunately we saw them on Saturday. And, you know, they got some talent. They're young talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's young legs and, you know, some open eyes, too. And that can either work for you or against you. But, I don't know. It's the West will definitely shape out as kind of an interesting mix, especially, you know, towards the teams at the top that you didn't really expect at the top, say Dallas and St. Louis, and teams towards the bottom, Chicago, you know, San Jose, the Kings, that you thought were going to be there. You know, I mean, Anaheim, I mean, they're way down. Minnesota a while back, you know, they were the number one in the West early on, like after 30, 40 games.
Yeah.
And they slid way down.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conference. I think not as much so as the East, but at the same time, I mean, it's a conference where, you know, you got your favorites, but it is wide open.
Very true. And there's still a lot of time for teams to kind of jostle for positioning. There's a lot of teams that are very close. The Pacific Division, very much like the Southeast Division, where teams with kind of the lower points levels are, you know, fighting with each other. Phoenix was leading that for a while. Now it's Dallas. San Jose is still 3 points out, although, like you said, they have played perhaps the worst hockey in the NHL over the last 2 weeks. Detroit semi-slide, if you want to say that, where they're almost kind of playing 500 hockey to allow St. Louis to jump them and get in the number one spot. I mean, Detroit realistically still has a very good chance to be number one. So does St. Louis. So does Vancouver. So seeding will definitely change a lot from between now and then. And it will be interesting to see. You know, I hope for you, Corey, that Los Angeles finds a way in.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Although, you know, and if they do, regardless of where they end up at the end of the season, Jonathan Quick should get, like, every bonus possible in his contract, regardless of if he said it or not, because he would be the only reason they make it at this point in time. So, we will see. So, Corey, I went to the game on Monday.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of those black ice jerseys, which I think we discussed before. We didn't really care for them too much.
True.
I saw one guy wearing the St. Patrick's Day Crosby jersey that said, "Oh, Crosby." And it was all I could do. I was sitting on the end of a row, you know. I got in late to the game. And luckily, the seat I had was on the end of the row. So once I finally got down during a stoppage of play, I didn't disturb anybody. But when he walked by me a few times, it was all I could do not to trip him from buying that jersey.
Jeez.
Would that have been out of line? I don't know.
No, I would. If I was a NHL official, I would have let that one go.
Yeah. I didn't see it. It wasn't tripping. Yeah.
I didn't see anything.
I will also say that I was lucky enough the people sitting around me were very kind and didn't have to deal with any annoyances that night, which was good. Although, you know, that was my first game in the CEC, having not lived around here for a little while.
How'd you like it?
It was good. I enjoyed it, but it is very quiet. It is definitely quiet. Although, there were a few Let's Go Pens chants out of nowhere, I almost felt, given the rest of the game, that got louder, which is nice. But You know, there is some life and atmosphere in there, and you know, that game was obviously a good one to go to. You know, if I had to pick, you know, if the Pens do make the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, I think it would be great to see Dallas, to see St. Louis, or to see Phoenix. I think those would be like the three matchups that would be the most fun to watch, in my opinion. But
It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, to see the Penguins and their injuries and goaltending.
yeah.
You know, if you know Flurry. I mean, the talk has always been this. You know, as poorly as our backup goaltending has been, and how much Flurry has had to play. You know, how that'll affect him in the playoffs. You know, just to see. You know. Just to see how far we can make it. You know, I mean, it's one thing still to say, you know, all right, we get Crosby, Letang come back, you know, we're healthy. You know, it's, you know, we'll see in the finals.
Yeah.
You know, I still have a lot, there's still a lot of questions, you know, to this team that I think a lot of people are just not wanting to address. And, you know, this whole Crosby thing and, you know, just kind of pushing it to the wayside. And then maybe once the playoffs start, then all these questions, you know, will kind of come to the forefront. And you know, it's just buckle up and, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that's to me why the NHL playoffs are the best playoffs in major professional sports in North America. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, for sure. Two more tidbits, and then we'll go. We appreciate you listening once again. Podcast at pensuniverse.com. We appreciate it if you've stuck with us for the majority of this year as we started this new venture. Probably more for just us, I would assume, Corey. That's safe to say, you know.
Yeah, we're selfish people,
Yeah,
and we just like to, you know, listen to ourselves on the internet. That's what it is, pretty much.
yeah. So you know, we like it. Although I've admitted before on the show, once it's online, I don't listen to it because I don't want to hear my voice. But you know, we thank you again. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Stitcher Radio, Podomatic. It's everywhere. Obviously, on the website, it gets posted. If you haven't got it yet, go out and get that Mike Lang soundboard app that was released a little bit ago, and there'll be a mobile site functioning with that on it as well.
Can I just a
Yeah,
quick thing?
you
It's
bet.
really fun when you're sitting in a meeting,
Yeah.
or you know you're with friends and it's quiet, and you know you got your phone under the table, and then you just a random Mike Lang saying, and everybody's, what was that?
Nice.
That's pretty good on a Monday morning.
There you go. Spice it up a little bit.
That's right. Download it.
Yeah. All right. Another tidbit from the game on Monday is that somebody had a jersey foul where the X was inside the U on a Lemieux jersey, and he wore it. He wore it. You know, I don't know who sewed it or whatever it may be, but unfortunately, yeah. I don't even know what to say about that one.
That's probably either a misprint or
Yeah, something.
switch up. I
Yeah, exactly.
don't
So that was a born trade jersey before they got shut down or something.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so Pens play the Panthers on Friday, and then have the matinee game on Sunday against the Bruins, and then the fun really begins, right? Rangers, Devils, Flyers, Jets, Predators, Senators, Devils. That's a nice little stretch there, I'd say.
That's nine playoff teams as it stands right now. The Penguins' next nine games are against playoff teams.
Yeah, exactly, as it stands right now.
I mean,
And the only
that's a
real
nice little stretch.
Yeah, and the only real relief you if you want to consider it relief you get is against the Islanders for back-to-back games. And then the Sabres now, the way they've been clawing back in, they're probably look at them as a different kind of team as well, so hell of a stretch coming up for sure.
Buckle up.
That's right. That's why it's fun, right? So,
That's why we
anyway,
podcast.
for Corey, this is Doug, and of course we appreciate it again. Stay tuned to Penn's Universe for more podcasts along the way. Give us your feedback. Hit us up on the feedback on the Facebook page, and we'll talk to you, tweet you, message you later.